First of all, what's up, everybody? Hey, some of y'all came in before or after I got a chance to say hi, so hey, what's up? So tonight is going to be, let me first start off by saying, tonight we are closing out our series that we've been in for about the last month called Ascend. You see it on the screen, Ascend. It's been a cool series. I think it's been fun. Anybody, you've been here for part of Ascend and you got something out of it, you know, God changed your life, whatever. It's been amazing. No hands, but that's okay. I feel your hands internally, so I'll just go with you on that. If for some reason you weren't here for it and you want to check it out, we got a podcast. You can go listen to it. It's basically me talking, which might sound boring to you, but if you really want to listen to it, get over it. It's fun. It's exciting. All four people that like listen to it on a weekly basis say it's awesome. My mom is one of them, but she thinks it's great. So, you know, it's cool. Hi, Mom. She'll hear this later when I podcast it. So anyway, it's on there. It's been fun. This whole series, and guys, honestly, if it seems like me or Christy or whoever's kind of looking for words tonight, today's been this week, at least in preparation for tonight, it's been kind of a weird deal. So if you know me at all, you probably know I'm kind of a planner. Like, I like to plan ahead. I like to know what's going to happen. I can procrastinate, but for the most part, especially when it comes to Wednesday nights, I like to know what's going on. I like to, I have, for instance, the entire year mapped out for what we're going to talk about in every Wednesday night of this entire year. Now, not down to the details, because I'm not that detailed, but I have it, you know, planned out. I have 2019 mapped out. Actually, I'm kind of working on 2020 and a few things. So I'm a planner, all right? And yet, how my process works, and this will make sense in a minute, is when we get ready for a Wednesday night, I already know what the theme is going to be. I already know what we were going to do a sin for the whole month of January. I already know kind of how the breakdown of each week is going to be. This is the week where, what I do is about a week out from Wednesday night, so like every Thursday, Friday, I start praying about the next weekend or the next Wednesday. And I'm like, all right, God, I know that we're on ascend. I know that we're kind of here is where we're going. What do you want me to say? And I just start writing. And over the course of a few days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, in those days, I just kind of form together what I'm hearing God say. I put that on paper, and then that's what makes its way into my notes or whatever I kind of work off of for Wednesday night. Maybe you didn't know that. Some pastors do it differently. Some speakers do it differently. They script it out or whatever. I'm the type where I kind of have an idea of where God wants us to go, and then I spend the few days before saying, all right, God, what do I need to say to get us there? I feel very strongly that while I do bring skills and wisdom or experience or whatever to the table, the best thing I can do is get out of the way and let God speak. Because he can say it better than I ever can. I just get to be the messenger, you know? That being said, going into tonight, I was like, all right, God, great. Another week, another Wednesday. It's going to be amazing. Yay, God, or Jesus, team, whatever. And what are we talking about? It's going to be great. And I just started to get ready to write. I was like, all right, title, Ascend Week 4. Ascend Week 4. You know what I mean? You've seen that meme where it's like the and the is super elaborate. That's how I felt. Like, I was just like, yes. And that was Thursday. That was Friday. Saturday, Christy's like, what are we talking about next Wednesday? I was like, I don't know. It's going to be great. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, this morning. And some of y'all may know Wednesday morning is like final day. Like, I get here, we do staff prayer, I get in my office. And I have two modes. My office has two modes. If you've ever been in my office during the day, there's a productive work mode. Like if I need to be alert, I need to be on it. And that's when all the fluorescent lights are on. Like, you know, not these lights, but like, you know what a fluorescent light is. They're all on and like it's bright in my office. And then I have like God focus mode, which you think would be all the time, but it's okay. Anyway, I have like chill focus mode where the fluorescents are off and I have lamps in my office, and like right now the heater's on in there, so it's like warm. It's like a cave. It's wonderful. And so I was like super spiritual this morning. I'm like, let me do all the Jesus-y things I need to do because we got to get this message done. And once again, it was like, yes. You know, and so I was like, let me find the right worship song. Maybe I just need the right song playing in the background, you know. So I started with, like, some Bethel stuff. I was like, let me get the Bethel thing going, you know, because they're super Jesus-y. I was like, let's do their thing. And then nothing was really happening. I was like, Elevation, let's go over here. I need to channel my inner Furtick, you know, for those of you who know that is. And nothing. And then, so I'm skipping around. And then I was like, well, maybe I need one of those focus playlists, you know, that's, like, instrumental, but it's supposed to be really good for focus. Nothing. And then I was like, well, let's go listen to some messages. So I'm looking up different people's, like, sermon messages, and I'm like, maybe I'll get inspiration if I watch these really great. And there was lots of cool stuff. I wrote down some cool stuff, and I was like, all right, cool, God. Is this what I'm using for tonight? And he was like, nope. And I was like, okay, what are we going to do? And the more and more I thought about it, the more I prayed about it, nothing came. So I'm like, all right, Lord, what do I do? He said, go back to what you know. I said, okay, that's what we'll do. So week one, if you were here for week one, we talked about Ascend, and we talked about what this whole series has been about. So I have been praying for a while for you guys, for this ministry, for the youth here, and just that God would use us to do something unique to us. Not that we're special, not that we have to do something different from everybody else. It wasn't about being separate or you know, individual for the sake of being individual. You ever met that person who's just weird because they want to be weird? And it's like, you're not really weird for a purpose or in a cool way. You're weird, like, just because you think that that makes you unique. And it's like, you're just like the other weird kids. Anyway, you know what I mean? That's not what I wanted to do. I didn't want to do something different just so, you know, I wanted to be hipster about it. Like, oh, well, we are going to do this before any of the other churches do that. No, I don't care. But what I felt very strongly was that God was saying, hey, if you guys will rely on me, will let me direct you in some things, I will take you, and that's me, Christy, interns, like in circles, the band, it widens out, the youth, by extension the church, on this journey higher up the mountain, so to speak. And that's where the idea for Ascend came from. Because here's the thing. Over and over again in the Bible, there's lots of examples. Pick a page, pick a chapter. You can probably just flip through it, stop, and point to somebody who had an encounter with God, Old Testament or New Testament. God changed their life, and it was cool. Now, I know it's not all rainbows and sunshine in the Bible, but for the most part, it's a story of how God encountered someone's life, and it got better. So from the start, God loves every single person equally. He loves us all. He wants all of us to be part of his family and spend eternity with him. That's awesome. And I can just pause right there. And if that's a reality you haven't already understood, if you're not already part of the family of God, get on our level, y'all. You're missing out. Not because we're just that amazing, but because you don't realize what you don't know until someone tells you what you don't know, and then at that moment, everything changes. So if you haven't experienced the love of Christ, if you haven't experienced the Jesus, I don't mean the Jesus that the world says, you know, that Jesus dude. I don't mean like the church you picture. I mean Jesus as in a personal experience, a relationship, and a communicative relationship with him. If you don't know what that's about, stop there and let's just do that. Okay, don't go any further than that because you got to know Jesus, okay? The Lord said, hey, if you'll trust me, if you'll follow me, we'll do something unique here. Because as much as in the Bible there are people who encounter God and have these amazing experiences, you know what there are a few of in the Bible? There are people who had unique, what I would call elite experiences. Now, that doesn't make them elite as in better than, not the world kind of elite as in like people who get special treatment. But there are people, when you read the Bible, who had unique encounters with God, who were not comfortable living with what was the average acceptable, who said, you know what, I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to climb a little higher up the mountain than anyone else is willing to go, and in turn saw things that no one else saw. The first one I can think of is a dude named Enoch. Enoch is a guy, there's very little said about this guy in the Bible. In fact, there's like two verses in the entire Bible about the two verses in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament about this dude. You know what it says about him? It's totally random. It's in a list of genealogy. You know what that is? It's like they're listing the family tree. And they're like, this guy was the son of this guy. He lived for this long, and then he died. And then this guy was his son, and he lived for this long, and then he died. And then this guy was his son, and then he lived for this long, and then he died. It's a super boring chapter where it's really just like a textbook where they're like, let me just tell you how these people, what this family tree was. And then it pauses when it gets to Enoch, and it says, and Enoch was the son of so-and-so, and he lived for this long. And he walked with the Lord, and then one day he was no more because the Lord took him. It doesn't say, and then he died. In fact, Enoch is one of two men in the entire Bible, obviously, well, never mind, two men in the entire Bible who didn't die. Who just were, it says literally, he walked with God, and then he was with God. Right? Like he walked here on earth with God, and then God took him. Dude didn't die. Now that's a unique experience. Not many people, as a matter of fact, there's even a scripture in the New Testament where Jesus specifically says everyone has to experience death. And yet this guy, something was different about him. That word walked with God is the exact same walked with God that it uses in Genesis when it says Adam walked with God. So you're learning about a guy who, in spite of the fact that everyone else, the majority of people in his culture at his time, were distant from the Lord, he had a unique relationship where he went above and beyond. He was willing to push through what was average, what was acceptable, and see something different. You have a group, I know some of you this is boring, but just stay with me. You have a group in the Old Testament of the Israelites. They're in 12 groups, and each group has different responsibilities. One group in particular was called the Levites, and the Levites had a unique responsibility. You see, all 12 of the Israelites, when they got to their land, they broke up the land into 11 pieces, and they gave land to all these people. They said, the Levites, however, you guys don't get any land. You guys get to work in the temple, which sounds like they got kind of the short end of the stick. Like, y'all don't get any land. Y'all just get to serve the church. Except that these guys were the only guys who got to experience the presence of God. Because in that time, the presence of God would consume anybody in its presence. These guys were devoted. They gave their lives to this cause, to this one purpose. And because of it, they were able to experience something no one else was able to experience at that time. Elijah's a prophet in the Old Testament who did all these crazy things. And then he's the other one who's mentioned that never died. Because at the end of Elijah's life, when it's about time for him to be done with his life, he has this conversation with the Lord in which the Lord says, hey, if you'll get into the right place at the right time, I'm going to send a chariot to come pick you up. And he's like, okay, that sounds cool. You know, I imagine Elijah's just expecting like this horses and chariot. And then if you read the Bible, it's in 2 Kings. It says a chariot of fire came from heaven and carried him off. Now, part of me thinks like, all right, who was on drugs when they wrote this? Because that sounds insane. Like, could you imagine if you're just standing there and a flaming car comes from the sky and somebody gets in and it takes off up into the clouds? You'd be like, whoa, what just happened? And yet that's what happens to Elijah. Special. Unique. And you see this over and over again. Specific blessing, specific favor on people. It's not because they were better than. It's not that God didn't love everyone else. It's just there were certain people who God said, hey, I'm going to open a window of opportunity here. And if you're willing to take the step forward, if you're willing to do what no one else will do, you will see what no one else can see. And that's the idea behind Ascend. There is a level, an elevation that everyone is comfortable within our Christian atmosphere, within church culture of climbing to. It's the level where we come to church a couple of times a week. We sing our songs, we listen to our message, we raise our hands if we're feeling spiritual. We might even respond to an altar call if it's a really good service or they happen to give me goosebumps with the song they sang. And I'm not belittling it. Guys, I was raised in that kind of church. I got saved in that kind of church. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I met my wife in that kind of a church. Like, it's a part of my life, all right? So I don't want you to feel like I'm dogging that part of church. What I'm saying, though, is there is a level of relationship with God that he's like, cool, you've made it to heaven, great job. But then he says, but you've got, hopefully, a long way till you get to heaven. You know, like just because I become a Christian and I one day get to go to heaven, it's not like, cool, well, the next 45 years of my life, I can just coast because I'm there. No, you have things to do in that time. Now your job is not just making it to heaven, but bringing heaven to earth, bringing God into this place. And the way we do that is through his Holy Spirit. It's through connection with him. It's through understanding that there is a higher purpose. So the second week we talked about really just basic stuff. And to be honest, I didn't plan to talk about the things we talked about. It was just funny how I just listened to God and it came up. Because the first week we talked about something stupid, simple, like very easy. Day one, you just became a Christian. Here's day one. What is it? Read your Bible. How many of you grew up in church? How many of you grew up with a grandma, mom, Sunday school teacher telling you to read your Bible? How many of you probably did never read your Bible? Keep those hands up, you bunch of liars. Yeah, let's be honest. Myself included. I grew up in church. I got saved at a young age. I believe in Jesus. And I knew I'm supposed to read my Bible. And I didn't really read my Bible. Like every now and then, if I had it in church and they were like, hey, turn your Bibles, and I wanted to feel holy, you know, I would be like, I'm going to flip through the pages. That was back when you brought a paper Bible. Or digitally, you want to be like, I've got it on my Bible app. And you know darn well you're on Instagram. You're like on the Bible app, and then like when they start, you just flip over. What's going on Snapchat, right? You know? You didn't read your Bible. And we talked about that week jokingly how we have all of these situations in life where we're given the instructions to things. You get a car, and there's a manual in the glove compartment that tells you everything you need to know about the car. And no one reads it until something breaks. Right? Till a light comes up on the dashboard and you're like, what is that light? It's got an exclamation point. I think I need to know about that. And then you get into the book and you're like, oh, my car's going to explode. I probably should have done something about that. And it's too late. Why? Because you waited until it showed up to read the manual. Or maybe you got a new phone. And how many of you know, in an iPhone, you open the iPhone, you take the iPhone out. If you've ever unboxed an iPhone, you open the iPhone, you take the little like insert out, there's headphones and a little charger, it's wonderful. And then what's in that tiny little box? It's the instruction manual to your dang phone. How many of you have ever read that instruction manual? I bet you didn't until one of two things. Either it stopped working and you were like, oh crap, how do I do this? Or you needed the warranty or something, right? It's not till it went wrong that you read it. Yeah? Why do we treat the Bible the same way? We don't read it. We're like, yes, I've got the manual. It will look wonderful on my nightstand right next to my bed. I can set cups of water on it perfectly. It's flat, right? Some of y'all got a ring on your Bible where you set that cup. Never mind that. That wasn't me at all. But when something goes wrong, you're like, I need a word from the Lord. I need a verse. God, I need to know the answer. And he's like, you never read the manual. And you want to yell at me? Guys, I've had full-on conversations where I was mad at God because God did not tell me the right answer. We were dealing with a situation, and I'm like, God, this is stupid. I don't understand this. How come I don't know what to do here? And he's like, have you ever read the book? Right? And I don't think God's a jerk about it, but he's just like, do you realize you're complaining when you haven't even done what I told you on day one to do? That was week two of Ascend. Week three, last week, we talked about step two, prayer. Read your Bible and pray. Those are like the two things that you're supposed to do in church. And they're the two things that we are the worst at. Now, some of us were raised in a house where you pray over your food, you know, and we count that as our, did you pray today? I did. And what you really mean is good God, good bread, good meat, good God, let's eat. You know what I mean? Anybody ever say that? Y'all never heard that before? Oh, I had a crazy uncle that would be like, good bread, good meat, good God, let's eat. That would be how he'd pray. You know, or my dad, if you ever ask my dad to pray for the meal, he'll go, thank you for this food, amen. And he always gets looks like, that was it. He's like, look, I'm not trying to save you, we're just trying to pray over the food, right? But we treat that like, well, I prayed today, you know, I prayed. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. We don't pray. Even if we do pray, it's recitation. It's reciting something like a list of needs. It's like you might as well read your grocery shopping list. You know what I mean? Like, all right, God, I need eggs. I need butter. I need milk. I I need coffee. I need Sour Patch Kids. I need, you know, you might as well read the grocery list, because when a lot of times when we do pray, it's like, all right, God, I need your help on the math test I didn't study for. I need your help with this relationship. This girl is cute, and I need her to notice me. God, I need, and we just, it's a list of things we need in our lives. That was not my list. That was somebody else's list. Well, it's a list of things we need in our lives, right? And yet, we have conversations like, God, why do you feel so distant? And we hear people talk about God in ways like they know him, and we're like, oh, how come I don't know God that way? Have you ever talked to him? Right? It's a simple question. Super easy. That's like Brandon here. Stand up, Brandon. Everybody, this is Brandon. Say hi, Brandon. How many of you would say, you can come over here, it's fine. I feel like we got to walk over here. How many of you would say you know Brandon? Okay. How many would say you don't know Brandon? Show of hands. Okay. What's your name? Nick, you don't know your brother? That's probably more true than you know. What's your name? Chelsea, do you know Brandon? Why not? I just said this is Brandon. Didn't I? Brandon, that's Chelsea. Do you know Brandon? Do you? What's Brandon's favorite color? I know. This is like your first time, and I'm totally calling you out. I'm sorry. The chairs are closer. I don't really care if you're new or not. This is how we indoctrinate you into. Chelsea, do you go to church somewhere else? Like you used to, or you still do? Okay. So are you like visiting here now? So this is probably the worst introduction possible, right, Jacob? This is awesome. What? No, your friends are awesome. We don't do like the whole, hey, fill out a card. Look, this is youth. We're not having you fill out a card or give you a free gift, and we'll like give you 4 weeks before we say it. Now, Chelsea, what's your name? Because you're new too, right? Antonia? Okay, Chelsea, Antonia. Y'all, that's Chelsea and Antonia. Okay? We know them now. All right, Chelsea, do you know Brandon? What's Brandon's favorite food? You don't know. You don't know? Chelsea, what's Brandon's favorite color? What's he doing in his free time? I mean, just take a shot in the dark. That's like 80% of the guys in the room, but whatever. All right. You don't know Brandon, right? You don't know nothing about him. Have you ever had a conversation with Brandon? No. So is it unreasonable for me to expect you to answer all these questions about Brandon? Yes, it's unreasonable. Brandon, go sit down. Give Brandon a hand. It's unreasonable for me to expect Chelsea to know things about Brandon because Chelsea's never talked to Brandon. And yet, we want to expect to know God when we've never talked to God. Right? If I had like a handheld mic, I'd be like, if it was 2005 and that was still like a thing. You know, mic drop. No. That's my point. That was the point of last week. I didn't even got to this week yet, but it's okay. We're almost done. We have all these issues with Christianity, with church culture, with church life. The world has issues with Christianity. You know what they are? That it doesn't work. And you know what? In a lot of cases, they're right. Because people who don't know Christ, or especially people who don't like Christians, see a religion that doesn't work. Because they hear us talk about love until one of our people says something that doesn't really sound right, and then we just destroy them in social media. Google Lauren Daigle comments on whatever talk show. You see what I mean? There's a lot, and that's one of about 50 different examples of times where Christians hear something they don't like from one of their own, and they destroy them. I'm sorry, God said love people. Why can't we love our own people? Okay? They hear us talk about a peace that passes all understanding, and yet Christians are some of the most worrisome, fragile, you know what I mean, depressed people there are. What's this supernatural peace you're talking about? Because you don't have it. They hear us talk about joy. This joy that overflows, we just got the joy of the Lord, it's my strength. And you are the weakest, most cranky, bad attitude person, right? You're like a dark rain cloud when you walk into the room, and it's like, I don't. If you're talking about the joy of the Lord, I don't want that, because you're bumming me out, man, right? And we're just talking about the physical, the characteristics. What if we get into the actual stuff? What if we get into the part of the world that hates Christianity because we talk about how God heals and God does miracles? And yet they're like, cool, well, I'm dealing with this. Can he help that? And you're like, yes, he can, because by his stripes we are healed. Great. Can you pray for me? That would be awkward. Like, I could. Like, I guess I can. I'll say pray for you, man. I got you. Prayer hands emoji. Right? Hey, can you pray for me? Yep, praying. No, I didn't say, will you pray for me when you pray eventually, because we all know you don't. I said, will you pray for me now in this moment if you claim that this works? Right? How many of you have passed somebody who you're like, okay, they obviously need healing or need a miracle, and you're like, pray for you, man. I got you. First, you know darn well you ain't gonna pray for them. You don't pray for you. But second, why not pray for him then? I can keep going, but that's okay. You understand my point. This podcast was great. Y'all should go back and listen to last week's podcast. It was amazing. So we talked about reading your Bible. We talked about praying. And today we're going to talk about what I feel like is the third piece. If you want to really have a genuine relationship with Christ, if you want to genuinely live up to the name Christian, Christ follower, and not be like the hypocritical kind. And see, let me just step aside for a second. The number one complaint from people about Christians is that we're hypocrites. We talk about one thing and we do another. Right? Anybody ever heard that? Why? Sometimes it's unfair. Sometimes it's because they expect people have expectations that Christians are just superhuman. And we're just so 100% amazing. And the truth is, none of us are amazing. We're all messed up. And that's why we need Christ, right? So sometimes it's an unfair expectation on us. But sometimes it's because we claim one thing and live another way. We have control over that. See, I don't have control over someone's expectations of me if they're unfair. I can't control that, okay? So there's no sense in worrying about it. But there, I do have control over walking and living like I say that I am. So if we're going to do this thing and we're going to live and we're going to actually get something out of it, because that's the point. Read your Bible. And just a practical thing. If you don't have the Bible app, it's free. Download it. It literally says Bible app if you Google it, or if you App Store search it or whatever. Download it. Create an account. Find me on there. It's not hard to find. I'm like the only Kellen Catlin. Find me on there and send me a friend request. Because what we found is you can now link up and read daily plans together. What we found is if we read together, we stay on it. Some of us, because we're overachievers and we want to like see the little like, yeah, I've got all my things and everybody else can see it. That's amazing. And some of us, because we have social anxiety and we don't want to feel left out, so we just do it because, you know, it'll keep us included. Hey, I don't care if that's your motivation. If you got a streak of 2 weeks, you read the Bible 2 weeks in a row. I don't care what your motivation was. That's a good start, all right? Do that if you have trouble reading your Bible. Maybe it's prayer. Can I tell you there are opportunities that we do prayer? We have pre-service prayer every Wednesday, all right? And there's a quote from a book I read, and some of y'all are reading it, about prayer that says, if prayer is not vital to you or to your church, then you or your church are not vital to God. I was like, dead. Like, okay, I just need to go pray, because that's so true, and I'm so awful, and I'm evil and must be destroyed. Like, I got to go fix that. So, prayer. The third part of that is the Holy Spirit. And here's the deal. How many of you have ever heard of the Holy Spirit? Yeah. How many of you have ever heard of the Holy Spirit and it has been weird? Be honest. It's fine. It's not sacrilegious or disrespectful to say the Holy Spirit's weird. He, by definition, is weird, okay? Go back and read the Bible. Every time the Holy Spirit shows up in something, it's weird. And it's supposed to be, because if it was normal and natural and easy for us to explain, then there's nothing supernatural about it, right? If it makes perfect sense to us as humans, then it's human. It's the fact that it's superhuman that makes it special. That's like the statement, if we could understand everything there is to know about God, then he's not God. It's kind of the same way with the Holy Spirit. If everything about the Holy Spirit was natural, then there's nothing supernatural. That was deeper than y'all really are getting right now, but that's okay. Here's the thing. Lots of people mess up the Holy Spirit. And it's not permanent damage. It's not because they mean to. It's because sometimes there's this spectrum of Holy Spirit people, and if you get too far one way or the other, you can kind of mess some stuff up. You either get this end of the spectrum, which are the super, super flaky, kooky people. You ever been to a church that you're just like, what are these people doing? There's like costumes and dance moves. And I'm not against costumes or dance moves, but you know what I mean? You know what I mean? They've got flags and tambourines, and it's just insane. Now, I'm not saying that's the wrong way to do things. So don't get upset if you're like, that's my grandma's church. I'm not hating on anybody, okay? The problem is not how you express all your worship. The problem is when that becomes the focus and not God. I felt that internally because I know a lot of churches that are so much about the hype that God's way over here, and they're like, we got to do this. We got to make more noise. If we don't make enough noise, the Holy Spirit doesn't show up, right? If we don't shake the tambourines with all of our might, then the Holy Spirit doesn't move. And that's not true. Sometimes he does. I love people worshiping freely. But you can't be so fixated on the crazy that you miss God, right? On the flip side, there are churches on the opposite end over here that are like, y'all are stupid, right? The Holy Spirit lives in me. And when it's time for him to, when I need him, he'll just show up. I'm just going to live my life. I'm going to be a good Christian. And when the Holy Spirit wants to use me, he'll tell me. Those people are way too focused on the crazy, and they miss God. These people are not enough focused on God, and they miss it. You see the difference? You follow me? That was not said very well. I can work on the wording of that. But you understand my point. When you get off track, focus on one end or the other, you miss God, who's right here in the middle. You also get some people that are so into how God is unpredictable. He's just this spirit. He's like, he can't be contained. You know, and it's like, no, there actually is a little bit of understanding. There's a way to understand the Holy Spirit. Now, by definition, the Holy Spirit is unpredictable in that I think he likes to just screw with us a little bit. Like, I think he likes the idea that we never can really pinpoint exactly how he's going to do things. Because if you understand how he's going to do things, then you don't need him, right? I think that's kind of why the Holy Spirit likes to just, like, dip a little bit. Like, you'd be like, all right, well, the last time the Holy Spirit moved, we sang these songs. Look, because read the Bible. It got them in trouble all the time. They would sing these three songs. They would do this. They would be in this place. God moved. And so they would go, well, clearly we have a formula. Next time we need God, sing these three songs. We got to be in this place. We got to do exactly this. God moves, except God didn't move. And they're like, what happened? Well, I guess he's dead. And they would just go on about their life. Like, well, I guess God died. He's not answering this time. And then later, like, they'd sing these. They'd be doing this. They'd be in this place. God would move. And they'd be like, we have a new formula. We must do exactly this. And God will show up. And then maybe he did even a time or two. And then the time he didn't, they were like, God has left us. He's dead. And they would move on to other things, right? And we get into, and it sounds ridiculous, but how many times do we do this in church? How many churches do you go to? Open with a video, probably a couple of songs, maybe announcements or offering, maybe a couple more songs. They preach a sermon, altar call, Jesus came, it was amazing, Holy Spirit, yes, right? It's a formula. We followed the formula. I'm not knocking it, but you understand my point. If we're more focused on the formula and not the God of the formula, then we miss him for the sake of structure. We cannot afford to get so locked into God can only move in this way that we miss God. Because I think lots of times God is like, hey, I'm right here. You just got to come. He's not playing hide and seek. He's not like hiding in the closet. You got to open the right doors. He's just like, look, today, y'all are going to connect to me right here, right here. And you're over here going, and he's like, I'm right here. That was not making fun of speaking in tongues, but you know what I mean. And he's like, I'm right here. You never once said, God, where are you? You said, if I do this, he'll be here, okay? So here's what I want to throw at you real quick in the last few minutes. Do you know the Holy Spirit? Let's stop there. I was raised in the generation of youth ministry where in order to get people to come to Jesus, you had to turn the lights down because they couldn't see each other. You didn't want to see that. There's too much peer pressure. It's a joke, but it's true. You had to have probably the band and some sort of crazy good music, you know, really like it would swell, you know? So it's like internally you're like, yeah, it's got to build, you know? You would have to count to three. You had to count to three because God couldn't move on one or two. Only when you said three did the like faith activate. And you had to raise a hand, but you couldn't look around. Eyes closed, raise your hand, because this tells God that you want to know him. He didn't know your heart. He only sees your hand, right? Like, I'm being a little bit silly, but you understand my point. So I want to do this part of the service completely backwards from what would be the way to see the Holy Spirit move. I just want to ask you an honest question. Eyes looking at me, looking around, I don't care. Because if you can't acknowledge God here in a room in front of people that generally probably like you or care about you, then you're not going to acknowledge him out there, all right? If you can't stand up for God in this room, then you darn sure ain't going to do it at school. It's just the way it is. So let me ask you a question, honest question. Do you know Jesus? Do you get it? Does this kind of thing make sense to you? I know a lot of you personally. I know that it does. But if it doesn't, if you've never really kind of bought into the whole Jesus thing, can I just encourage you to try it out? Give it a shot. It doesn't require you to like say a certain prayer. I don't have to rub oil on your head or knock you on the floor or anything weird like that. It just means, you know what? I'm going to give this Jesus thing a chance. I'm going to read my Bible. If you don't have a Bible, come talk to me. I'll get you one. If you got a smartphone, like I said, the app is free. Please ask somebody that knows what they're doing how to use it, because if you load it up and you're using King James Version, you're going to get lost real fast. I don't know how you read King James Version. That drives me insane, Allie. Every time, yeah, in the Bible app, do you like the King James Version of the Bible? She don't even know, right? Do you have an AirPod in? Get your AirPods out of here. I hope you can. No, no, she has AirPods in. She can't hear me. All right. Talk to me later about that. But look, ask somebody if you never used the Bible app, if you never used the Bible, ask somebody how to use it, because there's some things you can know that'll make it a lot easier for you. I'm not against the King James or different translations, but sometimes they're just a little easier to read. If you're in the these and thous and giveth and taketh away, and you're like, I don't know what that, why is there an if on the end, right? Huh? Yeah, I hate Shakespeare, so I can't read the Shakespeare Bible, all right? I gotta read like English Bible, normal people speaking Bible. So if you don't read your Bible, look, oh, that's where I was. Hey, if you don't know Jesus, if you, and that's, again, a churchy term. If you've never committed your life to Jesus, to saying, I'm going to do this the Jesus way because there's something about it. Maybe you don't even know what it is yet. But if you want to make this decision, tell somebody, because the Bible is very clear. You need to let somebody know that you've made this decision, because there's this word called accountability. And that's a super, super long spiritual word for you. You just need somebody in your life that's helping you. You can't do this alone. We were not meant to live this life for Christ alone. We were just not meant to do it. Adam was created in the Garden of Eden where everything was perfect. And even God said, you can't do this by yourself. You need somebody else. All right. And we're the same way. We need other people in our lives. That's why we have church. If all you needed was Jesus, you didn't need to come to church. You can just find him at home. You need people in your life, specifically people that know more than you about this thing that can help you along the way. And there's a half dozen. If you're an intern in this room, raise your hand if you were an intern last summer. Anybody with their hand raised, you can talk to them. They'll help you. Me, Christy, you can talk to us. And not in a judgmental way, and it doesn't mean they have all the right answers. They're going to say stupid. You can put your hands down. They may say some stupid stuff, but they know a little bit more than you as far as they've been on the journey a little bit longer. Maybe they can help you, okay? But if you want to do this thing for Christ, read your Bible, pray. If you've never talked to God before, guess what? He's just talking all the time. He wants you to listen. You just got to stop and listen. Can I ask a question? Again, no heads bowed, no eyes closed. Does anybody want to make the decision like to just be a Christian today? You're just like, yeah, I'm going to do that thing. Is this anybody's like first time? I just want to make sure. You're already, what are you going to do? Don't put your hand out. Michelle's like, me? This is not the time. Not the time. Anybody? All right, I just want to make sure. I know it's kind of weird to call you out. Like I called Chelsea out earlier, but it's okay. She's part of the family now. I said her name again and made it worse. All right, anybody? Okay, cool. Good. then I would assume that everyone in this room, since you didn't raise your hand, you all know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, then come talk to me about it. Maybe you're skeptical. Maybe you're like, man, I just don't know if this thing is real. It still seems a little silly. Cool, come talk to me. Not because I'm going to argue with you or tell you why you're wrong, but because I want to help you understand a little bit more, okay? Second thing, how many of you are filled with the Holy Spirit? And here's what I mean by that. Let me explain before you raise your hand. I don't mean you had an encounter at some point in your life in the past where you felt the Holy Spirit. What I mean is you had a situation where something took place. Maybe they called it the Holy Spirit in that service wherever you were at, or maybe you just knew that this thing, that this moment occurred when something came over you that was beyond anything you've ever felt or experienced in the natural, that you just were like, whoa, that was different. For me, the first time I was ever filled with the Holy Spirit, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know that it was the Holy Spirit. It was just, I didn't know what to expect. They said, hey, if you want the Holy Spirit, just ask God. And I was like, all right. And then it happened. And that was weird. And then all of a sudden, it was like this just, I would say transcendent, which is a word, moment occurred. And I was like, I don't know what this is, but this is not normal. And then I spent the rest of my day trying to figure out, ask people who knew more than me, what was that? Like, that was weird. Like, that's what it was. So show of hands, if you've ever experienced anything like that in your life in church where you could say, I've experienced the Holy Spirit, yeah? If you've been to Coram Deo with us, I know you have, so yeah. Okay, cool. And here's the other question. There's a difference between being in the room when the Holy Spirit shows up and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Scripture, the Bible tells us all in the New Testament about the difference. You can be in a service where God is moving and the Holy Spirit show up and you go, oh man, this feels crazy. There's something going on. The Holy Spirit's here. And you've experienced it, and that's awesome. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm talking the whole like speaking in tongues or that kind of stuff. You can do that. And that can be a one-time thing, but the Bible actually tells us that it should be a recurring thing. Because the Holy Spirit being a part of our lives, when he fills us and wants to be a part of our life, it's a daily deal. He wants to be part of our lives daily for two reasons. There's two main reasons the Holy Spirit does what he does. Number one, power. If you claim to be a Christian and you claim to serve a God who does healings and miraculous and all that kind of stuff, guess what? He does those things through us, which means we have to be able to demonstrate them. We can't do that in our own strength and our own ability, our own power. That's only through the Holy Spirit. So you, yes, you, right now, have the ability to pray for somebody, to ask God to heal them, and they're healed. Now, it's a little more complicated than that. You have to actually ask God and listen for his response, not just pray, heal him, God, 37 times in a row. It's a conversation for another day. But the Holy Spirit fills us for, number one, power, and number two, endurance. You ever tried to live for Christ, maybe do the right thing for a while, and then found out it gets hard, and you just messed it up? Yeah? Or maybe you went to a retreat or a camp or something like that, and you had a really great encounter, and then you got home, and within a few days, it felt like it had, like, tapered off. Like, it just faded. You know why that is? Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is a daily part of your life, it's like that energy boost, like that caffeine or that, like, a monster energy or something that kind of kicks you into gear and kind of keeps you on the right track. And that sounds a little bit weird. It's really hard to describe unless you've experienced it. But those are the two main things. So maybe you love God. Maybe you like the whole Jesus thing, but you're finding it hard to stick with it. The Holy Spirit is what you're missing. Maybe you're in this place and you've been in church for a long time. Maybe you're even filled with the Holy Spirit. Or were at one time. But maybe it's time to elevate, to ascend, to a new understanding of that. And that is, I am tired of being a part of having a relationship with Christ in which I talk about Christ or God and the things he can do in theory. I want to see it move to in practice. I don't want to talk about a God who heals. I want to be a part of healing people. I don't want to talk about a God who changes lives. I want to change lives with him. You don't understand what I'm saying? So that's kind of, that's the boiling point. That's the apex of this entire conversation. What do you want to be a part of? What do you want your life's relationship with Christ to be? Do you want to be okay with being just a really great follower of Christ? That's fine. Or do you want to take the next step, climb, ascend a little bit higher. Do things other people aren't willing to do in order to see things other people aren't willing to see. Honestly, not all of us will make it. I don't mean like we're going to die. That was super grim. I don't mean it like that. What I mean is not everybody can make that step. Not everybody can go the extra mile. There were 12 disciples that followed Jesus. He called 12 dudes. One of them backstabbed him. Okay? So, like, already right off the bat, one of them didn't make it. Okay? Of the 12, there were three that Jesus specifically, it says, they were his inner circle. They got to see things the other nine didn't. If you read about the transfiguration, they get to witness Jesus, like, become this, like, in basically God form. They get to witness that. The other nine disciples didn't witness that. These three did. Why? Because they were closer to him. They were willing to go further and do more and be closer to him than anyone else was. Even the other nine who went on to do great things, they were willing to go further than anyone else was. Are you willing to ascend higher? Are you willing to go further? That's where we're at. We're going to pray. Close your eyes. Not because closing your eyes is holier, but because closing your eyes makes it easier to focus. Because we got people at the door, and this will be the third week in a row we're late, and I don't want them mad at me too much. I'm going to pray. I want you to pray. I want you to talk to God while I'm talking to God. I'm going to pray over us. I'm going to pray for you specifically that God would do things in your life, but you have a responsibility in this moment to talk to God about you. And not just talk at God, talk to God, which implies listening for a response, okay? So I'm going to pray, and then I want you to do that. Ready, go. Father, God, thank you for being in this place. Thank you for filling this room with your presence. Thank you for creating an atmosphere where we can come to know you. God, I thank you for the interns, for the people that were here for pre-service prayer that chose to give up their time to dig in to what you were saying and doing to be used of you, God. If I or Christy are the only two people in this room being used of God, then we are not fulfilling what you've called the New Testament church to be. We all have gifts, Lord, and I pray that we would all be involved in that, God, in what you're doing here, Lord. For this message, God, this whole series of Ascend has been built towards us ascending, us answering a calling to a higher level, to not just be okay or are content with the standard level of doing things. God, we want to step it up. We want to get on your level. We want to move to a new place. We want to do things we've never done before in order to see things we've never seen before. And not just for ourselves, but for others, for other people who are out there who are sick and tired of seeing a church that is powerless, that seems lifeless, that talks about amazing things and never sees them. God, we want to be the church that you set aside, the New Testament church that literally their prayers shook the foundations of the earth because it was so content, it was so unified, it was so bent on bringing about your presence, your spirit into this world. And it starts, Lord, on a daily basis with each of us just being serious about this, just saying, you know what, I'm gonna go the extra mile. I'm going to actually read my Bible when I don't want to. I'm going to pray when I don't feel like it. And you know what? I'm going to keep going when I don't feel a connection to you immediately. I'm going to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Not because I understand it all. God, it's kind of weird to me, but I'm going to go for it anyway because your word says to do it. I trust you, Lord. And I know that through me, great and amazing things can be accomplished if I will just allow your presence to be a part of my life. God, wherever we're at tonight, Lord God, I pray that you would connect with us. You would help us. God, I pray that this message would just stick with each and every one of us. That for those of us, that it would just keep picking at us, God, and keep revealing new things and new aspects of our life in which it can step up and improve, God. God, bring us to this higher level and let us see the amazing things that you want to do this year through Relentless. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.